Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, good evening. It's Robin Tate here from the Overseas Connection podcast. I am in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. It's right about smack bang in the middle of that wee bit of Ireland at the top. There's a lake and I'm just at the top of it. If you look at a map right now, you can sort of zoom in on Google Maps and I'll be waving. This is episode 545 for September the 22nd, 2019. And this, believe it or not, is a video game podcast. We talk about video games less and less. And it's more about us as people and our friends and the people that have been listening to us for years and years and years. And we're just a bit off center somewhere, not to the left, not to the right, but we like to hang totally perpendicular. And we go out live on Sundays at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 p.m. on the west coast of the Americas, and 4 p.m. on the east coast of the Americas, 3 p.m. central for those bits in the middle. And we generally go out on most of the streaming services that are out there that are available. But I suppose the main place we go out to is twitch.tv/OC podcast. Okay, tonight I have sort of resting because he's in sprinting gear, ready to run out the door at any moment. And this is an ominous week for Greg DeLacy. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling sprightly. Are you feeling sprightly, Greg?
I'm feeling absolutely sprightly. I'm excited. I'm excited not to be hosting, allowing you to take over duties and me just basically sitting back because I may have to bolt out at any moment. Not really any moment, but I can't go long on the podcast today. So we thought for the sake of the listenership, we would have you host. This way the show can carry on if I did need to have a shorter podcast. And for any of those people that are on this podcast tonight that had things going on before the podcast and were saying, well, maybe I can't make it this week and I've got stuff going on, whatever. My response to that is, I don't care.
Excellent. Well, you know, that's a lot of opinion for a man of your age. And if you sprint
you know what? For the record, anybody that gets to my age has a lot of opinion. That's what we do when we get older, Robin. We have lots of opinion.
Shut up. And I also have Pete Chin. Hi, Pete.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
Really? You still look like a preppy boy with that haircut. Oh. I'm sorry.
Flip that collar up.
That's me. Oh. But Pete,
we'd have you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And of course, spinning the decks much better than anybody else is Mark Wright because, well, we couldn't afford to pay anyone. And Mark Wright, that's what we can get for free.
No, it's all going wrong anyway tonight. You've jinxed us all tonight, Robin. OBS has been a bitch. I've just had to reboot, so apologies to those who started at the start of the screen. Stream. Man. Yeah, but it's working now. I've got the cams working now.
Okay, one of you nice Nancy's, bring up the Twitch and have a look and see what's going on there and keep those people company tonight. Today, believe it or not, is good old Lewis Danson's birthday. It's his birthday, Lewis, and we'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks, I hope, down in London. Rennie Keane had her birthday yesterday, and Austin Carr on Friday. Wilma Gill. Now, there's a link. That was on Thursday. That looks like Greg DeLacy's buttering people up.
These are actually future dates. So this coming Friday, this coming Thursday. Benny? And yes, this is all my family
yesterday.
For the record. Yeah, my sister Renee yesterday, my nephew Austin, who I game with, and he has actually, I think, met a few of you, is on Friday. And then I couldn't not leave my mother-in-law out, so I had to include her.
Oh, of course not.
She's always been a big sponsor also of Extra Life, speaking of which we really need to get on that.
Phew, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, we were away, we'll hear about that in a minute, but we were away early yesterday, and even earlier than that, I took my mother-in-law and father-in-law and her just an aunt and uncle, picked them up and took them to the airport yesterday morning very, 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 very early because they're off to Italy, to the same place where we were a while ago. But it was lovely because when I was getting them out of the car, I got a nice hug from my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And I just, that's nice. They're being really good replacement parents for me. So it's been lovely. They're lovely people. That's nice. Yeah. Happy birthday, those people. Mark, play some wild and wonderful birthday music and cut it off rudely halfway through. That seems to be the fact. That's enough of that shit, I think is the line. Happy birthday, guys. Hope you're having a good one. Okay, so you know what? We start off the show by talking about stuff that's happened to us over the week, and that's exactly what we're going to do right now. But I preempt that thing about Greg's age because this time next week, Greg won't be in his 40s any longer. I'm sorry, Greg. Sorry about that.
I know.
It is that Hawaii 5-0 time.
It is. It is the 5-0.
What's happening for your 5-0, apart from coming to the UK and Ireland?
Yeah, so honestly, not a whole lot, I don't think. I think it's going to be
present.
Yeah. Yeah, the UK is the big present. But the plan is for kind of dinner and going out. And it's going to be a bit of a family day, to be perfectly honest, because after that, the month of October gets insane for this family. Lots of travel for both Cindy and I. So, I mean, I'm literally going to be coming back from the UK, and she's going to be leaving that same week for another week. And then when she gets back, it'll be Halloween. And our family's big on Halloween, so we have all these preparations we have to get done for Halloween between now and the 31st of October, and it doesn't feel like we have nearly enough time.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good. And so age doesn't matter then. Age doesn't matter. It doesn't. 50's been okay for me.
Did you just say AIDS doesn't matter?
No,
AIDS does not matter.
No. Really, really good drugs now. It's okay. No, that's not true. Yeah, I said age. Age, Pete. Pete, the schoolboy. Schoolboy Pete, haircut.
Well, Pete's getting up there in age as well, so his hearing is starting to go. Yeah.
I'm seeing that camera as well, and it's like on the live Skype view. I don't know what it's like on the Twitch feed, but you're like in the bottom half of the screen,
okay,
and you look tiny compared to the...
Oh, don't stop.
I am tiny.
Don't stop moving it around. I've got it all set up.
It's okay. No, it's all right. Just, you look so cute.
I've just got no pants on.
Fucking hell, bollocks. Yeah. I need to alter my gameplay video now. Your head's being cut off now.
Here's a fun fact. I took a client meeting in nothing but a towel.
What?
That's the beauty of working from home. I had a conference call, and I was just in nothing but a towel because I was getting ready to go to the shower, and I totally forgot I had a client meeting call I had to make, so I just quickly just said, fuck it.
That's creepy, is that, Greg? That is really creepy.
I know.
You were in New Jersey this week, is that right?
I was in New Jersey.
Flashback, it was like Harvey Weinstein meeting. That's what jumped off our heads. And you were there on the casting couch.
Yep. And going, if you want the deal, Robin, if you want the deal, you gotta do what you need to do.
Take it.
So are we just diving into it?
Yeah, on you go. So that's a good start. New Jersey. Oh, yeah. Play funny.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Potato!
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I was out in New Jersey for a kickoff meeting with a client. We don't do a lot of kickoff meetings in person typically, but this was one. It's one of my bigger clients, and they were like, you know, hey, we'd love to have you guys come out and kick off this meeting and do a little bit of a lunch recap. So flew out to New Jersey on Tuesday night, stayed through to Wednesday, and flew back. And I've had rotten luck with flights of late in terms of getting delays, especially when we've had stopovers. And so in Dallas, we sat on the tarmac leaving Dallas by a good probably 15 minutes or so. Not too bad, but I mean, it was just enough to just be annoying. But the pilot was like, hey, I'll try and speed us up and get there early. We have a nice tailwind. We should be able to make up some time. So we land in Sacramento, and I'm kind of excited because it was a long flight. It was about 3 hours, 30 minutes-ish in the air. And that was my second leg of flight, so I had already been on a flight for 3 hours prior to that, because for whatever reason, American decides that they want Dallas to be a hub area. So they fly me from New York to Dallas, then from Dallas up to Sacramento. Not exactly a direct line. But, you know, I'm tired. I'm just like, okay, we've landed. I just want to get off the plane. And as we get to our gate, the pilot comes on. He's like, I made good on my promise to get us here early, but unfortunately there's a plane sitting in the gate that we're going to. So we had to wait for that plane to leave, and it took like another 15, 20 minutes of us just sitting there. Oh. And I was just like beside myself. So yeah. So I didn't get back to my house until probably about 2 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday night.
See, I thought you'd maybe embraced this whole like Green New Deal sort of thing. And like that little wonderful young girl from Sweden who sailed a sailing boat over from Europe to America to speak at different rallies. I thought you might have just took a bike. Like what?
Yeah, that totally crossed my mind.
That kind of makes
sense.
No,
I'm not a tree hugger. Fuck that noise.
All right. So work has been okay. What the hell is Alita the Battle Angel?
Alita Battle Angel. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, I was shocked because this came out. It's one of those. I don't want to say it's Japanese anime because it's not at all. But it has a little bit of flavor of like anime to it. But it's a story about. I don't want to give too much away because right now, Robin, you're going to have to see this movie.
Okay.
But it's a story set in the future, kind of a almost not Ready Player One, but kind of that future kind of
a bit of Deus Ex and a bit of
Deus
Blade
X
Runner. Yeah, people are augmenting themselves.
Deus Ex, I think, is actually the perfect analogy because you have humans that are augmenting themselves, and you have a basically kind of civilization is falling apart. And they have these bounty hunters now that are in charge of I forget what they call it. I think they call them hunter warriors.
Yeah.
But they're in charge of basically carrying out law. And more importantly, hunting down like other android humans that have taken augments. They basically go after them when they have bounties on their head. Basically, there's a scientist. He finds basically in a junkyard this young girl android, for lack of a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. And he recreates her, and the story takes off from there. The animation is fantastic in this movie. It's great. And I say anime because the main character, she has the really big
round eyes,
very similar to what you see in a lot of anime movies. But everybody else in it is just, it's great. It's got some real menacing parts to it. It was just surprisingly good. I remember seeing it coming out and I was thinking,
I didn't think it was your sort of thing, but you know,
I was exactly the same. I wasn't expecting that much and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. I was shocked how good it was. And then, I last night, because Cindy is actually not here, she is down visiting her mother, I thought, well, I'm going to finally sit down and watch Godzilla, King of All Monsters.
What?
Yeah.
King of Monsters.
Had not seen it yet. King of Monsters.
I've seen this.
It was absolutely shit.
Yeah. I'm glad you thought that, because I didn't think it was very good. The last Godzilla movie.
You were really expecting something.
The last Godzilla movie was crap as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. So, Pete, to answer your question, I wasn't really expecting something. I was hoping for, and this is forever going to be my hope, a good Godzilla movie, because I grew up with Godzilla in my life.
Yeah.
As a kid, I loved Godzilla.
Black and white. Yeah. The wee paper mache stop motion. You were in.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, 50 is just a number, Robin. Remember that. Remember that slogan. Anyway, I was hopeful. This might be just, you know, because the last Godzilla movie wasn't bad. The one prior to this, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was just, okay.
You was so being sick in your mouth.
No, okay, look, Pete, come on.
No, it was. And you can't swallow it. You're not in a position to spit it out because you're in public and you're like, oh, it was like that. That's.
I think the only one, Matthew Broderick one wasn't.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Well, That was a good one, but they made Godzilla out to be, you know, a monster, which was probably the right
call.
I think
he is.
No, well, see, the Godzilla back in the day, the Japanese Godzilla, outside of the original, they turned him into kind of this folk hero.
Yeah. You know?
Godzilla. Godzuki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comes in at the right time.
Yeah, comes in at the right time. And so that's kind of they've gone back to that formula.
Okay.
And so Godzilla King of Monsters, it's just I regret spending $5 on this movie.
Oh, you even paid. Oh,
I did. I rented it. I was like, I want to see it. Let's go. Come on. Oh well.
It strikes me as that game. You know the one that was free, Mark, that you always want to love? What is that one? That the one that comes out, it was free. It was Xbox 360 game. It was free in Game Pass or the gold.
Earth Defense Force.
Yeah. All those are very B-movie things. So there you go. Okay. Pete, you've increased your swimming distance.
Yes. I've up my distance to 2,000 meters a day, as well as the training session. It's like it's almost like a triangle. You do sprints. You do 200 meter sprints, 100 meter sprints, 50 meter sprints, and it forms a triangle if you drew it out. But I'm doing that on top of my 2,000 meters, so I'm trying to push my distance a little bit now. I mean, I can. Huh?
Okay. How long does it take to swim 2,000 meters?
About 35 minutes.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Yeah.
Easy.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, just it's the time commitment part of it. Cause
that's an accomplishment, yeah. Are you doing this in the morning, Pete? Is that what you're doing in the morning swims?
After work.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, normally if it was distance and if I had the time, I could swim 5-10,000 meters. It's not that I can't do the distances. It's just that if you've not got much time and you want to condense a hard, fast-paced training program into you know your regime, like your daily tasks, then
intervals.
To push myself, I think to myself, well, yeah, I'm gonna try under 2,000 and then push myself on a triangle, so just a 200 fast, 100 fast, and 50 fast. I'll probably do 50 meters I can normally do in about 32 seconds sprinting, but it really, really gets the heart rate going, and that's what I'm trying to do now to get my blood pumping and lose a few more pounds. I don't know whether it's going to work or not.
And is there a reason apart from just being healthy, Pete?
I pretty much compete against myself, Robin. I don't do it competitively. I don't do it to score any branding points with anyone. There's a thing at my baths called Swim Tag, and it's just a little blue wristband, a little bit like a Fitbit, and you can pop that onto your wrist, and it tracks your pace, your distance, the calories you burn, and you can make friends in Swim Tag, and you can set yourself challenges. You can take on the channel swim, and what you do with every single swim that you do, it just puts them in sequential order and puts them against that little challenge. So eventually, you know, you would have hit the 22.6 mile run for the channel.
Touchdown!
Sorry. Yeah. So, just increase.
Excellent. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Pete, question, Pete. Okay. Are you swimming in a heated pool, or are you just going out to the English Channel and saying fuck it?
No, it's not a heated pool as such. It's freezing cold. I'd love to get out to the sea and swim, but something really scares me about sea and open water swimming. You feel a lot more exposed,
the man in the sea.
It's what?
It's the man in the sea. That's what's scary.
No, it's Jaws. Once you see the movie Jaws, you don't want to go out and swim.
No, I'm all right with salt, Robin. The buoyancy is great. Your times improve and whatever when you're in open water, but there's just something that just makes me feel a little bit exposed, and I don't really like it.
Like we clams at your butts. It's like pinchers at your pinching. Is that what it's like? Yeah. Someone's going to nip you as you're swimming. Is that
crab,
what it is?
Crab just pinching my party pecker. Yeah,
But realistically, well, jellyfish are a big problem, aren't they, when you're sea fishing.
It depends what coast you're on. If you're on the west coast, then yeah, definitely. Over on the east, I think it's purely just it's either crabs or just freezing cold water. I think it's more like over Wales and stuff. If you did that, it seems to be like if you go over Anglesey, there's tons of jellyfish that end up just on the beaches every single day. It's nuts.
Was there something on the news earlier this week where a woman had swum the English Channel frigging times?
And she's my shout out at the end of the show.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
crazy. She's been bringing illegal immigrants over on her back.
On her back, yeah. under a shower cap.
Speaking of illegals, Brian Cox. I like Brian Cox. Why is Brian Cox written on the show notes?
Well, my brother wanted to take. We're all in astronomy in our own little weird ways. We have our thing. Me and my brother have got this thing about these people who
Aquarius or Sagittarius?
It's the age of Aquarius.
Yeah. It's like, what is your sign?
Scorpio.
All right. See, I'm Aquarius, man. See.
Okay.
So you're all into that, yeah?
Not star signs, but no, we're into our astronomy. And we've all got our own little things. I'm really into black holes. And
I'm not even going to touch this. I'm just going to walk away.
Is that every time you bend over, then?
Jeez.
Look, a new astronomy sign.
Anyway, right, so black holes, yeah.
Yeah.
That other dimension. Anyway, I knew I'd get him. Me and Mike are into, how people think about the flat Earth. Their old thought on that, their thought process, their opinions, and how they just completely just, I don't know, they're just nuts, aren't they?
Please.
We will. Hang on. Black holes. And, my dad, he's just nuts on it. He's just followed astronomy since, what's his name? Carl.
What your dad's name?
Carl Sagan.
Yeah, I remember watching them Cosmos as a kid. I've got Robin Croyne. that guy from in the 70s, and I remember watching them as a kid. And Brian Cox was touring this week. My brother's in America. He wanted to take my dad, and he couldn't. He was in Birmingham last night. And he said to me, he said, "Oh, Pete, if I buy these tickets, can you take him?" So that's what I did. Ended up taking my dad to see Brian Cox. And it was just a show at the NIA with 8,000 people, all about astronomy, full of geeks.
He does a radio program that goes out as a podcast.
Yeah, he does, with a comedian. I can't remember his name now.
Was it like that?
He featured, actually. He was there. I think he was, because he started to get a little bit deep into black holes, and he was
I cannot believe we're having a conversation about Cox and black holes.
Yeah, I understand. Not
right, anyway. So he was talking about black holes and started to talk about gravity and space-time and how the relation between gravity, space-time, and I can't remember the other thing. Anyway, they're all massive components to how we go through time, and we can't go back and we can't bend time, and into quantum physics and whatever. So, and he started to get a little bit scientific about him, just going over people's heads. But this is when this comedian who he does the podcast with come on and brought a bit of a comedic sign to it, and just like kind of livened the crowd up, and he brought it back, and it was really good how it was done. I thought it was fantastic for what it was. The only thing I was a bit disappointed about was, my dad is lost most of his eyesight now, so he's registered blind, and
we didn't get regular tickets. Well, Mike's give me the money. He's like, just get some tickets. And I think it was about like 90 quid a ticket. It was crazy money. Oh, wow. And I was like, no way. I'm going to look into a different way because I know Dad's got this disability and I'm going to try and find some like accessible tickets. And I phoned up and I started to process the order of these disabled access tickets. And I managed to get one ticket for, I think, altogether, with the registration process of the accessible tickets to venues, it comes to about 70 some odd quid, and the person that accompanies them goes for free. So I completely save tons of money doing that.
But you still charged Mike 90 quid a ticket. Please tell me you did.
No, I'm not that tight now.
Play the disabled card well.
Yep.
So yeah, I ended up getting it a lot cheaper, and I found out that you can use these tickets to go to other venues, and you can use them to go to like football matches, and you know whatever. So it's opened it up a little bit more to take my dad's.
So Pete's dad's going to EDX.
Yeah,
exactly.
He'll be going to Molineux Football Stadium to watch the Wolves, even though they don't like football. But yeah, anyway, I ended up getting these tickets, and I thought, well, it's level access; it's going to be fine. And then we go into the venue, and I got to where we was in block two, and it was a good area to be at. It was just on the left hand side of the stage if you were looking at, and I thought, yeah, this is a good area to be. And we got there, and this guy was like, yeah, it's row T, so you have to go down these steps and turn right, and it's just there. And I was just like, these are accessible tickets, and there's not supposed to be any steps. And it stopped, and he was just like, well, it's only several steps just down. I said, but my dad's lost most of his eyesight. He can't see those steps. He can't navigate down those. And it's not, I just wanted to make a point of it. And it's just not, that was what I ordered on the phone. And all of these other people that were on that level in accessible seats were all on the same level. There was three seats per bay. And I just thought we'd end up in that area, and we just never did. So I just complained. And then this one woman come up to us and she says, well, I can get you seats, but it's over the other side of the arena. But to me, it doesn't really matter because my dad can't see. He wouldn't have been able to see the stage anyway. So it wouldn't matter whether we were sitting on right by the stage or we were sat like 500 feet away. It just doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So I made that point, and I was like, yeah, all right, we'll take those seats. And there was nice, comfortable seats, and we was on our own a little bit, and it was pretty cool. But that was my only gripe about the whole thing. They just didn't take that into consideration when I mentioned it. But it was nice that we could get that. I've never took advantage of that.
World of disability access.
Sorry?
Welcome to the world of disability access.
Yes.
Really good ones. Yeah, really bad ones. Yeah. Not a lot of in-betweens.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that and had some special time with your dad. That was really good.
That was nice.
Mark, Spider-Man.
Like Greg, I've watched a couple of movies this week. Not else on this week, so yeah, movie time. Spider-Man Far From Home. Finally got to see that. Really enjoyed it. There's not a lot you can really say about it without giving spoilers, but it basically goes on a school trip to Europe and leaves his Spider-Man costume at home, and he wants to have What, Greg? Have they scored?
Nothing.
No, you watching football?
Yep. Yep, no, absolutely.
We're not.
No.
No.
So he goes to Europe, leaves his Spider-Man costume behind because he doesn't want all that burden, just wants to enjoy himself and try pick up MJ for a bit of kissy-kissy action, and it doesn't turn out like that. So, yeah, it's a good, fun movie.
MJ's a really good character in this. She's, I think, one of the best characters.
It's got introduces a new character, Mysterio, from the comics, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and that's got a big twist to it, which I wasn't expecting. Luckily, it hadn't been spoiled for me. I have not spoiled. Oh, I'm just saying, there's a big twist.
Like, yeah, but there's a twist. That's a spoiler.
There's always twists in films.
We apologise, everyone.
Yeah, Dawn died. Yeah, get on with it.
Yeah, so it's a good movie. Spoiler, it's a good movie. Good. End credits are interesting as well, so yeah.
You're just jealous you didn't see Godzilla.
Oh, I've already seen it. I don't want to see it again.
I know. I don't blame you.
Yeah. And the other movie I've watched was Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie. And a bit of a letdown. It was watchable.
Not Godzilla? Not Godzilla level.
It was better than Godzilla. but yeah, it was fun and interesting, but it wasn't as good as I thought it'd be. So yeah, it's set in the alternate universe with James McAvoy and all that crew. Jean Grey goes a bit doolally in this. Yes, Greg.
Would you agree that the X-Men have run their course at this point?
It's time to
kill the franchise and put it on the shelf for a while.
I got off the train quite a while ago.
It was interesting enough. So yeah. If you've not what better to do and you can get it cheap enough or FOC, it's worth a watch, I suppose.
Cool. And your health and wealth is fantastic. Everybody's fine at home now, yeah? Good. And you're planning that man cave?
I've got it all worked out in my head what's going to happen. It's not going to happen while end of October, though. It's frustrating. I just want to get it done. I want to get it sorted, but, yeah.
I think you need to get one of those, like, stop signs, that the no parking signs, whatever, and just have mark zone.
Movie-wise for me, I have I watched a thing today called, Stan and Ollie. It's sort of the biopic.
British comedian plays one of them, doesn't he?
And I'm a big fan. I mean, I love Lauren Hardy. I like a lot of us do, and I have the big box set and everything here. And just not so long ago, I made the kids sit down and watched The Piano Going Up the Stairs, that particular episode, because just classic, and the piano falls back down the stairs and then to get it back up again. It's just a pure genius. And I've wanted to watch it, but I've always sort of knew it was going to be quite melancholy, quite sad even. Mm. And it was. I've put off watching it. It came on Amazon for free for the last few weeks.
This is the story of their lives, right?
Not really. No. It's so Stan and Ollie, sorry for breaking into sort of movies here, but Stan and Ollie, when they were making all those wonderful movies.
Spoilers.
They got paid a salary. They weren't cut into any of the royalties, any of the movies whatsoever. And Stan is the writer. Stan is the little one. He wrote nearly all the jokes and really wrote all the scripts. And his contract ran out with the movie studio, and he was trying to get them a better deal, and they let him go. So the movie picks up 16 years after the last big movie comes out. 16 years. They've no money. They've no money left. They didn't get any money. They just got a salary. And they go back out. It's about they're going on tour. And they've done a tour of England and Ireland. Mm. And so Ollie had put on an awful lot of weight. They were much older, 16 years on. They weren't young men when they'd done that. And it's about that. And people had forgotten about them. And literally the agent had got them booked into little crappy town halls, and nobody was showing up, and they had to go and do really humiliating things to get the crowds back again. Nobody believed it was them, and they eventually did get the crowds. And there's nothing strange that, you know, Ollie, you don't see him dying in it, but he does die.
Spoilers. But he gets his
ill health is why they stopped. But they were well into their 60s. But it's really interesting background to it, and I actually had a tear in my eye. You know, nobody dies at the end of it or anything like that, but just thinking about how badly those two fellas were treated. And I think it's either the very last show, and I'm going to have to find this out, it's either the very last show or the show before last that was in the Opera House in Belfast. So that's where they finished their final performances. It was either here or in Dublin. I know they were definitely in the Opera House. So I'll have to find out exactly, was it their last performance up there? And I think they only appeared together once after that. Again, and so it's well worth watching if you're any interested in Lauren whatsoever.
I think it's mad to think that I would have thought they would have had a luxurious life, and after they've finished, you know, in their retirement, they would have had a great trouble-free life. So it's a shame. You know, I've never read into the history of them.
No, but you know, I think about the time when they were doing those movies and stuff, it actually is not terribly surprising to me that they weren't rewarded with huge contracts and they didn't have any kind of residuals. Because at that point, actors still weren't really the drivers of the movies. I mean, the personalities themselves were still...
Chaplin was there. Yeah. I mean, he did tie into all of the contracts and stuff, and they were too soft.
Yeah,
too soft.
And is that what it was? They were just
Ollie said they were just too soft. Wouldn't argue. Always wanted to please people and wanted people to like him. Didn't be like to be confrontational. So yeah, well worth a watch. Stan and Ollie.
So always used to make me laugh about Stan Laurel. My dad always used to say that he was Clint Eastwood's father. And I don't think that is the case. I had to Google that at one point, and I don't think that is. But he said it always just, it stuck in my mind as a kid. And I was like, yeah, that's Clint Eastwood's dad, that is.
Very, very good. Such just geniuses. Speaking of the movies, I had a treat. I had a treat day on Friday, and I've had my eye on these for quite a while, and I picked myself up one of these tiny little devices. Look at the size of that thing. Look at it. Like, this is a DJ.
Does it vibrate?
Yeah, moves, rather. Yes, it kind of does.
It's a magnifying glass, Greg.
So, look, I mean, if I switch this on here, Greg, just for you, like, there's nice and close. So if I do switch it on here, like, see? Whoa!
All right. Very cool.
DJI Pocket. It is a 4K camera with a gimbal on the top of it. Now, I have the big version, the DJI thing that your phone clips into, but this thing's tiny.
Yeah.
I posted a video. I don't know if any of you looked at it. We went to a place called Tato Park, which is Ireland's really only big theme park, and all of that footage was shot on this yesterday.
All right.
That is awesome.
That's
that
good
awesome.
Quality,
how much was it, Robin?
Just £329.
Does it take stills as well? So that photo with you and your son, was that on there as well?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Nice.
So you flick between one and the other. You know, literally you can do forward-facing, backward-facing, touch of a button, clips into the camera, you take out the SIM. Now you think, oh, that's a lot of money for that tiny little thing, but that's the way devices are going. Mm. And for me, this is perfect for, it switches on really fast, bit of video work. I'm going to use it for work as well. But EGX this year, that's going to be used. I think Mike maybe Mike picked one up as well. So we've played with. I mean, I have the DJI Mavic, the drone, and I have the big one that I used for all the other video work that I use with my phone. But this here that's just perfect for whizzing around. So yeah. Huh? So we did go to this place called Tato Park yesterday. Now it's the second time I've been there. It is in the south in the Republic of Ireland. Okay, we set ourselves up. It is a theme park owned by a potato chip company called Tato. They make.
Am I right putting this on stream, Robin, or don't you want it on stream? We family being on.
Can't really go on. Sorry.
Right. Okay. No worries. I thought I'd better ask.
I can't.
Yeah, that's smart.
So this very successful potato chip company that makes the best Tato cheese and onion crisps in the world. They are absolutely unbelievably fantastic. They set up a theme park about 20 years ago, and it was quite small, and it's got bigger and bigger and bigger. It now has the largest wooden roller coaster in Europe. It has quite a lot of different rides on it. Really, really good. And they've added several more since we were there 3 or 4 years ago. And there was three families, and it was most of my family and foster kids and two other families who have been fostering just for a couple of years and some of their foster kids. And we had a ball. The video that I prepared, just edited it all together this morning, it shows a happy time. And we had a ball. The weather was very, very good for us. It just started raining about 6 in the evening. A long day, but just fantastic fun. We had a ball.
And, Robin?
Yeah.
You couldn't have waited a couple of weeks to go to this park?
you know what? You're going to... Castle.
Just giving you a hard time. I love you.
Just for to mention fostering, just anybody that doesn't realize, I don't know if you don't, but Judith and I foster kids, and as well as working, I work. And Judith also teaches other parents to be foster carers as well. But we've been fostering now for about 13 years, 14 years. Right. And yesterday it just brought a tear to my eye, even editing that video this morning, looking at little Jazz, who's up and not walking constantly, but is the preferred mode of moving around at the moment. Little Jazz, it's like a little drunk 1.5 foot, 1.5 feet girl, you know, walking around. But there's several young, very young foster kids with us yesterday, and watching how they've came on from when they both went to those parents that were with us yesterday to where they are now. A long way to go, but they wouldn't have socialized at all. They wouldn't look straight in the eye, and they're coming out of their shells and they're beginning to learn about family life. So I just mentioned it not just to go on, but if you ever were interested in your space, you can be single, you can be together, you can be in partners, you can be married, it can be whatever it may be. We need foster care. So if you ever wanted to find out how that could be something you might want to do in your life or talk about it, whether it's just respite, looking after some kid overnight or a weekend, or working your way into something longer like ourselves, just contact me at Bongo the Sane, and I would love to answer any questions, because yeah. I never thought when I was 20 years old or 25 years old, this is something that we would do, but I can't imagine not doing it now.
Yeah. Robin, it is truly inspirational. For the record, what you guys do. I dead serious. I mean, we have a special needs son. You take on that and more with what you guys do. So hats off to you and Judith.
Well, my relief, unless there's anything else, is one of the biggest events of the year. I know there's a lot of talking here, but we're getting to the games now. One of the things that I look forward to most in my year as it goes past is this thing called EGX, or used to be Eurogamer. And the first year we went, I went over to meet some guys, like the veteran gamers, and I was awestruck at meeting these people. It was fantastic, and meeting folk. And I think, anyway, it was about going over about the games. And over the years, I don't know how many years, 10 years or so now, I've been going to this thing. It's just got more and more and more about the people. And EGX is a gaming event. There's loads of games at it. There's loads of things to see. It runs from the 17th to the 20th of October, and it's in London. There's still some tickets available if you want to go, to just search for EGX and you'll go there. There's a crowd of us going over this year. I have a house booked for a dozen of us, and there's people coming from all over the world. And we'll go through some of those people in a second. But some of the stuff that we're doing on the Friday night, I have some escape rooms booked. Now, it's booked for at least 12 people. I think 12 are already filled, but I can book more. Escape rooms, woo! Yeah, you go in, you try to get out. And this place we're going to has multiple identical escape rooms. So at the moment, there's 12 odd people there. So there'll be two teams of six. But there could be three teams of six or four teams of six. So, So if that's sort of something you're interested in, we're going at 8 o'clock on the Friday night in Docklands, which is close to where EGX is. So, if you want to come along to that, it's not a problem. But you need to contact me at Bongo the Sane as soon as you can, so I can up those numbers. Okay. On Saturday night, then we're getting together. You'd have been the Midlife Gamer Party. But they're not doing that in London this year. They're doing their own sort of separate thing away from EGX. So we're going to Beers and Burritos in Canary Wharf, like a Mexican. Big restaurant, booked, big long tables. There was a massive crowd last year. It's just nutty. We had so much fun last year. It was good fun. Lots of drinks, lots of food, lots of laughs. And this year, there'll probably be a few extra little surprises. So the people that will be going to this and on the escape rooms before, you can come along and rub shoulders with some of podcasting's gold members.
The gold standard.
Maybe even their gold members would like to rub shoulders with you. People that will be going to this from America, Greg DeLacy from the Overseas Connection podcast, Seth McNitt, Boss Wave, Gary from Amras 89 from the Gamesman, Chris Williams from the Boss Wave, Pilch Reed from wherever he is at this moment in time, Mark Annex from the Overseas Connection, Verbal Rob from Boss Wave, Hardly Dan,
and his hair, I've heard.
And his hair, Mike Chin, Stu Fowler from the Veteran Gamers, Pete Chin. He may have something on his chin, he may not. Me, and many, many more. That's podcast gold.
The queen tried to get a ticket. She couldn't.
No, well, I don't know. We will maybe try and fit her in somehow or another. And there's many, many more. Numbers are not an issue. There's still plenty of space. We can take over the whole big restaurant. It's a Canary Wharf. It's a popular Mexican. It's not going to be crazy expensive. It's 8 o'clock in the evening. And please, again, let me know if you want to come along. We would love to spend more time with you. There's loads more people there that are coming, like some Matt, Lewis Danson, Daniel. There's loads of people who have already said that they're coming along. We would love to have just a ton more, loads and loads of people. So please contact me at Bongo the Sane, and I'll get those numbers up. I've booked quite a lot of space in this restaurant. I can book in a lot more. So contact me as soon as possible if you're going to be in the London area for EGX, if you're staying overnight or just coming for the fun. Okay, so that's EGX stuff. There'll be more and more of that every week as we get along, and I can't wait to...
Getting close now.
Have Greg over and all these guys. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah. The WhatsApp group has become alive again. So
it's even doubled.
It doubled. Yeah. It's breeding this time next week. So,
can I just say, hardly done, because Amras, Gary Lever's coming over as well. Hardly done, sort of like, oh, I'll create a WhatsApp group for EGX, because he didn't know about our current WhatsApp group, which has been going for 3 years. And we just put a year after it every year just to update it. But it's been going on 3 years, that WhatsApp group. But I got the blame for it. I got the all Mark's fault for having two groups. Everyone's saying,
I don't think I threw a shade at you, by the way. I just think said, why do we have to have another WhatsApp group for this? And then you just assumed I was throwing shade at you in particular. I just was throwing it out there in general.
I don't know. I have no problem with it being Mark's fault.
Yeah, true.
I'm sorry. There you go. It's coming. Right. Can't wait. Somebody else talk some more. Pete, you're looking there friggin' bored. You're thinking, what the hell? I could have been sitting there with my wonderful, wonderful, beautiful lady friend, but now I'm sitting here bored. So,
well, I've got an idea. We've been going 45 minutes now. We haven't talked games, so let's play a jingle and talk some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Pete, what can we get for sort of free?
Can we what?
What sort can we free. Get for sort of free?
Gears of War.
Sort of fuck's sake.
So you can get that for free?
Mark, would you flip and stop it?
I'm only kidding. Pete. Oh, just sort of these things.
There's free. Pete, do your best Kim right now. Do your best Kim impersonation. Oh, that's what you have to do here.
Okay, righty now, we've got the monthly freebies, and we've got the games of gold of September 2019. We've got Hitman, the complete first season, available September 1st to 30th, Xbox One. That's only on Xbox One.
Right, anyway,
just
we've got...
chaps my head.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Kim just...
So, Games of Gold, September 2019, Hitman, the complete first season, available on the 1st or the 30th on Xbox One. We Were Here, available on 16th of September to October the 15th on Xbox One. Earth Defense 4th, 2025.
Gone.
Home.
Somebody didn't prepare the notes properly. Tekken Tag Tournament 2, available from September the 16th to 30th on Xbox One. And Xbox 360. PlayStation Plus for September 2019. Available from the 3rd of September. So you should be well in these games now if you've downloaded them. Batman Arkham Knight and Darksiders 3. We've got some Twitch Prime games as well that's been available this month so far. It's Yoku's Island Express, Stealth Inc. 2, a game of clones, and Chicken Assassin Reloaded, Emmanuel Samuel.
What was in that? Read, heard, or dreamt this week about Twitch. They're stopping the free games, is that correct?
Are they? I don't know, I've not heard that.
I think so. I think they're stopping that service because nobody's really taking it up.
Well, yeah, last week we announced in the news that that future thing, what's it called? Discord. They've stopped their free games on the Nitro subscription service.
Maybe it's Discord I'm thinking
about. Yeah, they've stopped it because people have downloaded them, but no one's played them.
I'm sorry about that, Robin, but you should figure out now as well. But as towards the end of the program, I forget all the shout out thing and I cock that up on purpose every week. So it's just a given with me.
Are you apologizing for something that's going to happen in the future? Is that what you're doing here?
Well, I'm going to do that
future
as well. Yeah.
Apologist.
Yeah. Future yeah. Apologist. Okay. All right. Well, would you like to do your shout outs now that you've remembered them?
Yeah.
No?
Just like to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Mm hmm.
I'd like to shout out my toilet just now.
Okay. Did you wash your hands?
Yes.
Good. All right. Stuff that we've been playing this week. I'll talk quickly. First, I played Gears 5. I finished Act 1, and it was very, very good. That's all I've had time for this week. I apologize, world, but I wish I had more time. And it was fabulous. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the depth of these characters. I love that, how interesting it is, and I love it, how it's creepy. It feels like a sort of a horror movie sort of thing now.
The return to the dark, sinister vibe of Gears is perfect. I totally agree.
So you guys are way, way on me. You're talking about doing spoiler casts and stuff like that. So why don't you just talk between yourselves about Gears 5?
Well, you know, I finished it. I think, Mark, you finished it. Pete, you finished it.
I didn't realize you finished it, Greg.
Yeah, I finished it just today. This past week.
Yesterday.
Well, no, it was like Thursday. I think I finished it. Either way.
So can you see why me and Mark are like, oh wow, there's a lot of talking points on this then?
Mm. Yes, absolutely, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. But we're not going to spoil this for anybody. I think the key things we need to say is the story is solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The voice acting and the capturing, the motion capture is top notch. Yeah. I think the Coalition really has taken the lead as far as being the best studio in the Microsoft camp now.
Yeah.
They really showed off their chops this time around.
Yeah.
They were accused of, with the first game that they'd done, that they were played it very, very safe. And they have not done that this time.
See, yeah. I disagree. I just think they've set it up for a fantastic... a fantastic sequel to it.
If
you just jumped straight into 5, then you're not really you're not really buying into the whole story. That 4 gives you a real good intro into it, and if you really stuck into the campaign and feel for the characters, like Kate, you know, she goes through a whole lot of stuff in number 4, and it really lines it up for a good next game, and that's exactly what it's delivering.
You know, I get the criticism with 4 of playing it safe. I think they took some safe, measured steps in 4, but 5 feels like a true elevation of, from 4 to 5. It feels like
steps up a gear, haven't they? Yeah.
They really did. Yeah, they took it to a different level.
They changed gears.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, I can't give it enough praise. I think it is worth playing by anybody. It's not without its flaws. We've talked about the server issues that it had with it and some bugs that were tied into, I think, some networking issues. But I think just overall, the quality of the game is it rivals anything we've really played over the past couple of years.
Oh wow, cool, excellent! And Mark, you couldn't get enough of Gears. You have went, for the Ultimate Edition, which is mastered version of the first game
on 360, which wowed everyone back in the day. I played the Ultimate Edition, like you just said, because I enjoyed Gears 5 so much. I knew I had this on my hard drive from when it first released, and I haven't really played it. So I played a bit last week. I mentioned it last week, and I finished it today, a few hours ago, actually. You can definitely see how it's come along since then. It's definitely aged, even with a remaster. You can tell the old game mechanics and everything, but it's still a cracking game. It still holds up. I played it on normal, not the easy one, and I did die a lot. I'm never been a top Gears player. It was a bit frustrating in some places.
Was there a big cutscene close to the beginning of it, or is that 2, where it's sort of there's vehicles and there's all these hordes of things flying through the air coming at them?
No. I think that's 2.
That's 2. Yeah, they're in the city, the large city, you mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the knock with Gears 1. People were saying, oh, you don't have that many enemies on screen at any point in time. And so Cliff Bleszinski, you know, it was more badass, more bigger, you know.
That last act, when you're on the Brumac Wow.
Yeah.
You're just ripping stuff up, ain't you? And it's just awesome.
Well, talking of Brumax, now, on the 360 version, in Act 5, I remember taking on General Ram on the train. Everyone's done it.
Yeah.
But in this Ultimate Edition, there's an extra bit.
Yeah, so you got the PC version, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So they added, I'm playing it on and thinking, that. I can't remember this. It was a big fucking Brumac.
And no that Brumac were a fights.
Bitch.
Yeah.
That were a bitch to take down. Because it's just you and your AI fella Dom, unless you're playing co-op, right? And he lasts all the fucking 5 seconds before he's down. And, hey, help me, help me. Fucking useless twat. And this thing is huge, and it's got machine guns, it's got missiles, and if you get hit just once, you are out. And I must have tried that level 8 times before I nailed it. It's really tough.
Yeah.
It was very rewarding, though.
There are some equally challenging levels in Gears 5. I will not talk specifically as to what it is. Yeah. I will just say there is one particular level. Mark, you and I were talking about this. I got into this firefight, or situation.
Yeah.
I died literally at least 15 times. I was playing it late at night. I was tired, and I was getting frustrated.
Kim's just on that bit now. She's struggling.
What act was this in the game?
Two.
It might be two. Might be
end
three.
Of act two.
I can't remember. Yeah, end of act two.
The ice. So,
yeah.
We'll say no more, but yes. I was so frustrated. And I finally like, fuck it, I'm quitting. And then I'm talking to Mark the next day during my lunch hour, and I fire it up, and I did it in one shot. So,
What difficulty?
I think I played it on intermediate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to play games on kind of the intermediate setting. I usually won't fire up into casual unless I really have challenges with it. Or I don't care so much about the gameplay part of it. Gears, I've always enjoyed the gameplay, so I usually will at least play it on intermediate, and then I'll go into hardcore if I choose.
In that specific part, what you were talking about, Greg, I must have died about 30 times until I did what I did in that tip
right.
that I put out in the chat.
Right.
And when I did that, I did it first time round, and I was like, oh. It was so simple, and I was just like, oh, dear God, why didn't I think of that in the first place? But, yeah.
I had thought of that tip, for the record, and I still was dying. But it's because halfway into that fight, some things change a little bit in terms of how things are reacting to you. Yeah. And I was not ever, I for whatever reason, my brain could not process it that late at night to how to counter that, and it was doing me in. But anyway. Gears 5, it's a great game.
To see from the first game to the latest game how they've come forward and how it's advanced, it just shows you how much work they've put into it. It's such like I said, Gears 5 is my favourite Gears game so far. I loved it, even with the errors and bugs I had.
What I'm so pleased about is that they're actually, it always has had a sort of story, but really the depth of story now, it's more than just a shooting big beefcake game. There's depth to it, and that's fantastic, because Microsoft and Xbox needed that sort of
thing. They did.
Yeah. Anyway, Gears Love, we'll see that in Victory Achieved later on as well. Lots of more Gears Love this week. Mark, we have something very special planned this week for What's That Noise?
We do, yeah. Are we on that already?
Mark, did you want to talk about
Torchlight 2?
All I was going to say, different on Torchlight 2 than what I've already mentioned, is just progressing through, really. Done a few more dungeons, and each of these sort of like side mission dungeons, we mentioned it last week with Kim, there seems to be bosses in all these dungeons, and each one has got its own achievement. And when you look at the achievement list, there's absolutely tons of them. But each one's getting harder now to do, and I'm dying a lot more than what I used to do. So I'm having to spend my skill points in leveling up my skills and everything, and it's getting really good now. It's really, really getting a bit of a challenge now.
I will get stuck in it.
Yeah, but yeah, loving it, just carrying on with it. There's still lots to do in it, so yeah, that's excellent. It really.
And Mark, we have something really special planned this weekend. What's that noise?
Okay, man, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Now, come on, crank this motherfucker up. What's that noise?
Yep, so the audio quiz is back. You're going to hear three audio clips this week again, and you're going to have to WhatsApp me what game you think the clips are from. If you guess it without any clues, you get 2 points. After your first round of guesses, I'm going to give you some multiple choice, and if you get it on the second attempt, you get 1 point. And just to satisfy Mr. Halo over there, look at him, he's so excited, look at him, he's just, he can't wait. These are all Halo themed. These are all from the Halo universe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's finish the fight.
Right, so, are you ready for number one?
Round
no.
One. I'll initiate a low-level strike. Hit him right where it hurts. I only have a handful of ships, Master Chief. It's a big risk, but I'm confident...
Not again.
Emergency generators, now.
Shielding failed. They're down and charging.
As soon as they're up, reestablish contact with Lord Hood. Let him know.
All of you vermin, cowering in the dirt, thinking, what, I wonder, that you might escape the coming fire? No, your world will burn until its surface is but glass. And not even your demon will live to creep blackened from its hole to mar the reflection of our passage, the culmination of our journey. For your destruction is the will of the gods. And I am their instrument.
Bit of a long clip there, but yep. Which Halo game is that from? I've got an answer from Greg.
Now I'm starting
in WhatsApp,
to second guess myself. Yes.
I've got one from Robin.
Come on. What? This is Halo.
Right.
Yep.
You don't want to take a guess. Wait, just pick what? 1, 2, 3, 4, Halo Wars, Halo Wars 2, Spartan Assault. Pick one. Are you going to wait for multiple choice?
Seriously, Pete?
Yeah, I was going to.
Right.
I was hoping for I was going to wait for multiple choice, right, but okay. Let's go. I'm going to go for three.
Spoilers.
Right. Well. Right. Okay. I can tell you one of you got it right.
Probably Pete. Probably Pete. I was thinking it was. It's two or three.
Right. This is why you're supposed to WhatsApp them, Pete. Right. So the multiple choices are A, Halo Wars. B, Halo Combat Evolved. C, Halo 2. Or D, Halo 3.
Oops.
I just need an answer from Greg. There we go. Thanks for ruining that question, Pete. It was Halo 3.
Yes!
so Pete gets 2 points.
The thing is, if you'd have put a poker face on and just went, oh, you shouldn't have done that and not give a clue that I was right.
Yeah, but I normally tell whoever's got it right, they've got it right, don't I? But you just blurred it out.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Halo 3 with the prophet, really, truth prophet.
Halo hitter, Pete. I mean, what is the hit all about? What is that about?
I've just never played it. It never really appeals to me. I don't like the whole premise of the game. I don't know what it is.
Pete, did you ever play Halo Reach?
Yes, I did. Yeah, because I have done. Yeah, I've played that.
That was a good game.
I thought Halo Reach actually is one of the best out of the group.
Okay.
Anyway.
Next. Right. Okay. All right. Next one. Here we go.
Round two.
This is Echo 419. Chief, is that you? I lost your signal when you disappeared inside the structure. What's going on down there? I'm tracking movement all over the place.
Sir, thank God you're here. We've been lost out here for hours. After we lost contact with the rest of the mission, we headed for the RV point, and then these things, they ambushed us. We've got to get out of here.
There's a large tower a few hundred meters from your current position. Find a way above the fog and foliage canopy and I can move in and pick you up.
Oh, there we go. That's the second sound clip.
Oh.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Could he be a tricky?
Hmm.
Foliage. Oh, foliage.
Foliage tower rescue.
Damn it! Oh, damn it! Could Mark be tricky or tricky or tricky?
Wait.
You're tricky. You're tricky.
Change my answer, Mark.
Oh dear, did I get it
right?
Away?
Okay, well, I will say that none of you got it right then.
Ah, damn it!
That's what you get for copying me!
Nope. Your options are A, Halo Wars, B, Halo Combat Evolved, C, Halo 2, or D, Halo 3.
What was I again?
Halo Wars, B, Halo Combat Evolved, C, Halo 2, or D, Halo 3.
Damn it, Mark! Be that. Has to be.
Right, so Robin has gone for Halo 2, Greg's gone Halo Combat Evolved, and Pete has gone Halo Wars. It was their very first game, it was Halo Combat Evolved.
I had it, and then
yeah.
I changed my answer.
Greg put, this is why I nearly gave it away again, man. Greg put CE, and then he changed it to 4, and I'm thinking, oh, God. Yeah, so it was Combat Evolved. It's where the, before we go into it, I think the library and everything.
Right.
Yeah. So, so your last clip, are you ready for this?
Okay, ready. Pete's really ready there. Yeah.
So, all it did was point here.
In the 30 seconds I had to examine the artifact? Yes, all it did was point at a second star system.
Arcadia Colony, to be precise. Population a little under 3 million, largely unexplored, but apparently quite the vacation resort.
There's something there, Captain. I think it's important that we get to it before the Covenant do.
Our orders are to investigate Harvest. We still don't know a lot about what's going on down there.
I understand that, Captain. But everything I see here tells me that we need to get to Arcadia to figure this out.
Very well, Professor. I'll clear it with Admiral Cole. Serena, set course for Arcadia.
Aye, sir. Crazy mystery trip to Arcadia plotted in, spinning up FTL drive.
Serena,
shh.
Get out of my lab.
So, which Halo is that from? Which Halo game is that?
Can you just remind us of how many games there was?
It's loads.
Sauce. One, two,
there's
three.
Halo. One, two, three, four, five.
Five.
There's two Halo Wars. Wars. There's
one,
Spartan
two,
Assault.
Halo Spartan Assault. And there's Halo Spartan Assault, and then there is a second one.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
I'm sorry I don't look enthusiastic, Robin. I love this podcast, but I don't like Halo.
Right, the answers are in, and you are all incorrect.
Oh,
right, I will give you some multiple choices. Is it A, Halo Wars? Is it B, Halo 2? C, Halo 3? Or D, Halo 4? Halo Wars, 2, 3, or 4?
Okay.
Right, we've got an answer from Pete. I've got an answer from Greg.
You should nail this,
Greg. And one from Robin.
You should nail this.
And Greg did nail it. Greg is correct. It was Halo Wars. Both Robin and Greg put Halo Wars 2 on their first guess, which was so close.
I heard Captain, and I thought we were talking about Captain.
Well, it was, if you listen to it, they name off some of the actual leaders that you pick in the game.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember the mission structure and if it was in Halo Wars or Halo Wars 2 where they go on this secondary excursion. So, anyway.
It was hard to get a sound clip from Halo Wars without sort of giving it too much away because a lot of them named all the Andersons and the Forge. Is it Forge?
We know Sergeant.
Thank you very much. Sergeant Forge.
Yeah.
Good
Yeah. So Greg gets 3 points, Robin gets one, and Pete gets two on his guess.
Yes. Nice, boy. Pete.
Wow. Excellent. Good lad. So that puts Kim still on 14. Greg is on her tail at 12 points now. Yeah. I am now at 17. And Pete's now 9. Oh. 11.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know he'd added him.
Oh, he's added him. So he's 9.
Pete, so, being honest there.
Oh, yeah.
Him, Greg, Pete, and then myself. Very good. Excellent. Very good. Excellent. Good. I like those. I like this one. I'll keep them coming.
Well done, Mark. Well done.
Time for some news.
Not Halo next time.
Yeah.
No, it's done now.
Here is the fucking news.
So, the game, which is some people's game of games of all time.
Yep.
That game, The Last of Us, Last of Us 2. More details are going to be released in just a couple of days. So today is the 22nd of September. On the 24th, Sony is going to release more information on the PlayStation stream. Now, they will call this thing the State of Play. It's a new venue for sharing PlayStation-related news and information. And as per what they've said on their blog, it's going to start about 4 o'clock Eastern time, which is late into the UK time. And it's going to run about 20 minutes. Sony's not going to share any information at all whatsoever. Don't get excited about hardware. But it will promise to reveal some new games and updates on the first-party studio has been up to behind the scenes. But I think the most anticipated stuff is more information or another teaser trail for The Last of Us 2. When is that due out, people?
Next year. It's going to be next year. It may even be a PS5 launch title, people are rumouring, but we don't know yet.
It would be a lovely day in the console.
The Last of Us came out at the end of the PS3's lifetime, and that for me still is the game of that generation on both 360 and PS3. That game is just amazing. I loved it, and I've got the PS4 version. I still haven't played it yet, so I don't know how it holds up for the remaster, but I didn't think it needed a remaster really, because it was so good anyway.
To be honest, Mark, I think Sony is going to have this come out probably in like the April timeframe.
Yeah, probably.
And they'll probably do a update for the PS5 because it's going to sell. So why not have it sell in a slow time?
Yeah. Yeah, they've got all the millions of consoles out there that, they'd be stupid not to, wouldn't they, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I am, I enjoyed the last
one. You played this one, didn't you? Apart from the knives and the blocks.
Yeah, that was the I will always nag on that, but it was a fantastic game, and so it really, I think, is one of those games that set kind of a new standard for storytelling and just kind of capturing the human spirit and drama. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Naughty Dog's up there with one of these sort of like top developers for telling stories and portraying it on screen, and it's just amazing.
So that'll be interesting to see. That's this week. So then this is another sort of big twist, and it may mean something very, very big for PC gamers.
I like this.
I think this could be big, not just for PC gaming, Robin. I think this actually could have just industry standard changes. I mean, this could be huge.
They should apply to console as well, shouldn't it? Let's say what it is first.
In the land of the frog, the French people, the courts over there in France, they ruled that Steam games must not be better sold. Ha ha! Another the fallen Madonna with the big boobies. A French court rules that Steam games must be able to be resold. That is a massive sentence. Not only does it have the word French in it, but it has Steam and games and resold. French Steam games resold. So
when we say resold, does that mean back to Steam or to someone else?
To the consumers.
I think that is open to interpretation, but I think my thought is this is just they can resell their license to anybody.
A digital eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, hopefully the French judges understood what they were judging on.
completely. You know, could be what we find by, I know, American politicians, they don't particularly understand internets and things that go on.
They might do a David Cameron march, say, let's have a Brexit referendum, and fucks off and leaves it for some other poor twat to sort out.
Well, you'd think so, as a judge has done this. But yes, it could have a profound effect. So, I mean, I imagine this is, I bought some game like The Last of Us 1, and I want to sell it on back either to Steam, not to The Last of Us, that's a bad example, but anyway, a game, I sell it back to Steam, or it goes on to the second-hand market. Not that there was any degradation in the quality of the thing that you've bought, because it's digital, but I suppose but that's good. I like this.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that the courts ruled that basically they felt that European Union law allowed Steam users to resell the digital game. So this isn't just applying to France,
no,
but this is interpretation of European Union law. So that is quite far-reaching.
Yeah, because they're basically saying you should better resell it just like you can the physical disc version.
Right.
So they're saying there should be no difference between the two. That's interesting.
No doubt they're going to try and fight this. I imagine they will go back to courts on this. But
you know, I mean, goodness knows there may be a whole new market for second resellers. So Game in the UK sucks all this stuff up. They offer Game UK offers you more than what Steam are offering, and then they go and resell it again.
Yeah,
is that what they do? You know, is that sort of thing? And then they sell the DLCs as a cheap bundle with it as well. I don't know. It opens up lots of possibilities.
I just want to throw another spanner in the works here. So if that applies to games, what about other software like your Photoshops and even your Windows operating systems? How's that going to work? You can't have one rule for one and one for another.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. But, you know, I think back to, you know, when Microsoft, they did their whole announcement of the Xbox One. You know, one of the things that really got glossed over back then was they were trying at that point to institute a program that would allow people to resell their digital licenses back to a GameStop. Mm. And then, the program basically cut the publisher back into the equation when GameStop would resell the licenses. And GameStop, of course, said no to that, and we know where GameStop sits now today. They're struggling. They just announced 200 store closures. They're not doing great in this new digital world.
Which is predictable.
Yeah.
We know that this is going to happen.
True.
And eventually, it will keep on going, and the smelly shop over the UK, CEX, that will eventually go. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not going to be now. It's not going to be probably for the next 5 years. But in 10 years' time,
I think the difference between CEX and like your games and your GameStop, CEX do everything, don't they? You can buy and sell.
Yeah, and that's the magic thing behind it. If you've got all of your retro consoles, and you've got that nostalgia, and you want to turn up and you want to buy a game at a decent rate, that is the place to go. They've got some decent kit, and you know their return policy is pretty good. The support's pretty good. There's a whole wide range of stock there, and I think it's a fantastic place to go to. But eventually, it will go with everything. This is a massive, as far as I can see, this is a massive game changer. It's like it's a digital eBay, and if it evolves in the way that I think it's going to go. But, you know, you can move on your license just the same as you would sell Mario Kart over eBay. And it's wicked. I suppose in another way as well, with it being digital, they can track how many people are still playing it, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. It's a clever thing, and it will start to, I think, shave out some of these shops like we've got in the UK, like CEX. It's a shame.
Oh, totally. You know, if you really think about it, this is the, you know, that one of the big kind of last walls, if you will, of defense of people that don't want to go digital is they can't resell their games. This literally, you know, is going to tear that down and it's going to open digital up even more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not to the full liking of the publishers because, now people can resell potentially at a discounted rate, but I think that the publishers have been pretty, pretty open to some, I mean, game sharing, things like that, you know, to where I don't think they're going to be upset about this. I think ultimately they're going to look at this as just a further, you know, opening the door for them to be able to be in control of these things.
Mm.
But they will have to come up with programs.
And just one more thing. I know we've been talking for some time about all the news and our stories and stuff, but this thing for me as well also poses an opportunity to probably buy some games and not even open them. Leave them sealed and let them let them open themselves maybe in 20, 30 years to come. There might be a little antique.
I think Kim actually cornered this market already. I cannot tell you how many games that woman has bought and still are wrapped on her shelf.
It's probably like my brother as well. My brother's the same. But I think it's a good opportunity to probably buy something in this age now and say this is the last season of games that were released on disc, physical disc that you could get around this time before it all went digital. It's the turning point, I think, now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Good. Well, there you go. Things are starting to kick off. It's still sort of the end of the summer, and things are starting to ramp up again. So, the news is thin. But there we go. New releases. Mark, do you want to rattle through these, please? Or Greg, if you want?
Yeah, I can do.
I'm going great.
You want to do it, Mark?
No, I'll let you do it.
All right. Okay. Well, let's see here. Trying to empower my best Kim. This week we have Game of Thrones Beyond the Wall for iOS and Android only, coming out September 23rd. Cat Quest 2, because everybody loves a cat. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on September 24th. Contra Rogue Corps on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, September 24th. Also, I was going to say the biggest game on this list, but not quite.
What?
The Surge 2 coming out PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on September 24th. I hadn't read far enough, Pete. Mario Kart Tour comes out on iOS and Android on September 25th. Code Vein coming out PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on September 27th. Not to be outdone, Dragon Quest XI S. For the Switch, S being for the Switch, for September 27th. And last, but kind of least, nobody cares about this game, FIFA 20 comes out PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on September 27th. And that's it for your game releases.
I think you're right with Surge 2. It is best one out of that lot.
I think so, but
contrary to me.
My lad Charlie has bought an Xbox One for his room out of his savings, and this week he has one of the things he'd done was, instead of downloading everything from the internet, just set up network sharing, and he can pull it off the Xbox from out here onto his one. Works really well. Getting like 300 meg or 350 meg
transfer. So is he doing the same thing with the connection as well, using a SIM card in one of those routers, or is the connection now where he's a lot better?
No, it's all shared, same as what I'm using here now. We all share that same connection. So, yes, but the reason I say this is because he has downloaded the trial for FIFA 20 from EA Access. So, but he bought the Xbox One because he's a PC nerd. He's the, you know, three screens and all bits and pieces, but he wanted to play with his mates, and more of them are playing on Xbox. FIFA 20. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, let's get into your playdates and your trials. You must be near the end of this.
There's only a couple more tracks left after this week. Trials Rising Challenge number 28. 28 weeks have been going for this. This track was called Wheels of Steel. And it was a bit of a bugger getting my first jump, which Pete managed to do. And I couldn't catch him. Bastard.
Yeah,
so the top 10. In 10th place, no one. In 9th place, Kim GamerGirl 27 with 57.092. In 8th place is me with 56.701. In 7th place, Chubster 999 with 55.672. And we've lost Robin. In 6th place is Snoogans with 55.192. 5th place, it is
Oh, hey, Ginger Balls.
The legit chin it with 54.483. Beat me, bastard. I'm still winning on the overall leaderboard, so I think. Fourth place, Murphy's Law with 53.707.
Now, listen, let me jump in. That time pissed me off, Greg. That time pissed me off. I was racing you, dude. Listen, I was racing you for time and time again, and I was thinking, I'm going to get this guy. And God damn it, you really peed me off. I cursed your name a lot. But
you're welcome.
Well done.
Yeah.
And these top three effers.
Yeah, they're all these 50 ones. In third place, Martin C, 1984, 51.677. Just slightly ahead of that is in second place is Womble, 51.560. But again, winning this week's challenge, playing skills, Lewis Raimondo, 51.339. So well done to you.
Lewis has been killing it.
Yeah. He's taking advantage of Snoogan's downtime.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about Snoogan's later.
Mm hmm.
Well, let's go on to victory achieved then.
Well, let me just say what the next challenge is first. Yeah. challenge number 29 is balloons over bacon using the Rhino bike. And then there's two more after this. So, yeah, balloons over bacon on Trials Rising. You know the score now. Post in the WhatsApp chat if you want to join, if you're not already on it, or tweet me at Mechanics. But I will collect the scores at 7 p.m. next Sunday.
Nice. Okay. Victory. Is it bacon, bacon or begone? That's what I want to know.
Bacon. Well, we'd never say begone in the UK. Begone. Yeah.
You're outnumbered, Greg.
Yeah, bacon or bagon. Not begone.
I like balloons over bacon.
Yeah, bacon would be good, yeah.
There we go, yeah.
Okay. All right. Victory achieved?
Yes. Robin, by the way, has stated he will be back shortly. Skype decided it didn't want to play nicely with him.
Oh, bless him. Okay, well, let's let you know what Victory Achieved is. So Victory Achieved, it's a contest that we run quarterly, and all you need to do is play a video game. You need to complete it. You need to get to the end credits. And all you need to do is take a selfie of yourself with those credits and your beautiful face in that picture. And once you've done that, you need to go onto Twitter. So if you're not on Twitter, you need to register an account and you need to send that to @OC_podcast with the hashtag of victory achieved in your tweet. And you can win some money. You can win either $20 if you're over in the US. You can win £15 gift card in the UK. And that's for PSN, Xbox Live or Steam. So this contest this quarter is running between the 1st of July and September 30th, so it's due to end soon, but we've had a lot of completionists in this quarter.
Yes.
Here's the following list for this week. Scott Stubbe completed Gears 5. Beautiful Craig DeLacy completed Gears 5 2. Caliburn M completed Gears 5 as well. Fletch, good old Dan, completed Old Man's Journey. Caliburn M wanted to get in there a second time for this week and completed Silent Hill 2. That's one of my favorite games. That's a cool game. That's and Gunslinger Gunslinger X 1983 completed Transference. I've never heard of that game. Is anybody else?
I have, yeah.
I've heard of Transference, but
is it like Late Shift type thing?
He said it was quite short. So look at short.
Yeah, all I remember about Transference wasn't this a term that Konami was throwing out there back with one of the Metal Gear games, I believe, and they were talking about being able to take your save to another platform. I could have swore I heard them use this as a tech term.
Is it a Devolver Digital title? I can't remember.
Anyway, well, I'll have to Google that afterwards. But so. All of these great people have completed computer games this week, and they all deserve this. Ooh.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Robin's back on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just let me know, by the way, if you ever need me to just live do that. I can on command. I can.
You can roll with it.
I've got a bit of a. Bit of an issue there. My Gears of War Ultimate Edition V8 is not on there.
Yeah, you missed the 7 o'clock.
Mark. I thought you were joking with that.
There's rules, Mark.
When I do it, I do it. You know, then I'm doing other things, so it'll wait until next week.
All right, as long as you don't forget me.
Complete it
again.
I
did my old Phoenix, Marcus Phoenix image again with my face on.
No, because after 7 o'clock, I don't look at these because I'm
confident. Right.
So you missed the point. If I had looked at it, it would have been done. So I'll look at it through the week. Okay. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but
I think
you're
making a terrible mistake.
Your feelings aren't hurt.
Can you really bastardize the image as well, Robin?
Oh, it does. It does with everyone's.
I would really do it on this one. Guys,
I really do appreciate the giant eggplant in my face. That was
yeah.
You were closing your eyes. Sorry.
I was emotional, Robin. I was emotional.
I didn't want to see a Willy. If you don't know, actually, with Victory Achieved, you do tweet your photograph, and I've just begun to have more and more fun with these photographs as it goes along. So,
yes.
Anyway, okay, let's get out of here. There's been a chat, hopefully, going on. I don't know if you've been in the chat. I don't know if anybody's been in there or not.
There's apart from ourselves, there's been Rangod Zippo and RG. Is it RCGC? Sarah.
Correct.
Yeah, anyway.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah. Hello, Brian. And Brian is coming to dinner. Beers and burritos.
Nice.
Coming down from Scotland.
We had a few lurkers in there as well. We've got lurks. Martin won. Yankee Fan 1888 and Zankibar. The others are our bots. So
there you go. Nah. Well, look, if you want to go into that chat live, you can send us messages through the show. We usually keep a good tight eye on it. And you go to twitch.tv/OC podcast or all the other places, Mixer, search for Sarah, YouTube. And that's 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 o'clock on the West Coast of America, 6 o'clock on the East Coast. And if you're in Australia, like some of our listeners, it's 7 a.m. on certain parts of Australia. Okay. Leave us a review, please. That would be lovely to do. It'd be really nice to get a nice review.
And we will eventually check them. Even give shout-outs.
I'm trying to do it tonight, but I'm just failing. But it's funny the way it's progressed with the reviews, because it's kind of odd with apps now.
Yeah.
I mean, because my app doesn't easily allow you to do it from your phone anymore to leave a review. They don't make it easy to do that. There's barriers in place of getting reviews in there. So if you've left us a review, we know you really want to. So if you've got something nice to say or a complaint to make about Mark, generally it's all his fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
So there's lots of ways to contact us, and we're going to play a little bit of audio about how to contact us.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
That's kind of cool. So keep a good eye on our Facebook for news about EGX. Keep a really good eye on our Twitter feed as well, because I'm posting generally daily now little memories from EGX throughout the years of stupid things that I had. Like this week, you had the memory of me crawling around on my hands and knees trying to gather up my spilt burrito in a drunken stupor. And I think today's was the first time I met Chris MJW from Boss Wave. The very first time, we arranged to share a hotel room. I said, "Like, no, I've booked this flash lovely hotel." And he came along and shared the room, and it was one bed, and the hot water wasn't working in the room, and there was building going on in the hotel. It was a nightmare. Cold showers, single bed, hand between two pillows. Yes.
Those are two pillows.
Please, EGX, if you want to come to Burrito Night, if you want to come to the Escape Night, please get in touch with me at Bongo the Sane. That's Robin Tate, bongosbits.com. You'll get me there. Please get in contact. We would love to see you on Friday night or Saturday night or both nights in London or at the on the show floor. Greg, yourself.
Yes. Robin, thank you for hosting. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to stay for the whole show, but I'm glad I was able to sit back a little bit today and relax, let you run the show brilliantly. Fun as always to podcast with you, Mark, and the ginger. I want to shout out to the listeners, of course, because as Kim would say, we do this partly because we like to hear ourselves talk, but also because we love being part of a bigger community. And that is truly being put on display come EGX with all of these people that we have met through gaming. That is the core thing pulling us all together. And I am super excited for it. I cannot wait to get out there. I'm going to get a little trim on my way into Ireland.
Zang.
And yeah, it's going to be fun. For those of you who don't know, look up Trim Castle. Just saying.
Picking Greg up and taking him to get some trim.
Yeah. I need to shout out my mother-in-law, my nephew, my sister, and my wife, because she gets a big shout out because she just threw out the suggestions to me. And at first, I wasn't even thinking about it. But, you know, we do yard work. We trim up our hedges, that kind of thing. And, you know, you get the branches and the leaves everywhere, and it's a pain in the ass to clean up. You know, when you know, it looks nice to be able to trim your bushes up and make them, like, you know, nice and shapely. Yeah.
Brazilian.
Brazilian is the key, but you know, the leaves get everywhere, and then you got to rake them up and you got to dispose of them.
Are we talking about dirty things pouring like bodily functions here, or your garden?
No, truly the garden. Okay. So she said she made the suggestion of put a tarp down underneath the giant shrub before I trimmed it up with a hedger, and all the leaves fell into the shrub, the giant tarp, and then I just folded it up, pulled it over to the garbage can, dumped it, done. No cleanup needed. It was brilliant, and I felt like I was disposing of a body. It was awesome.
Fantastic, and you can follow that through. I mean, if you're doing some manscaping, what you generally do
also,
is
open
the toilet lid and put one leg up on the toilet seat and just do it right over the bowl. That's exactly how you do it as well. It's the same sort of thing.
Absolutely. And you can get burned. Cindy just like being out there in the sun.
Cindy told me that one as well.
Oh, Robin. And away we go. Just wait. I'm going to have my time with Judith. I'm just saying.
Oh, Jack, play some games then. Great.
Exactly. All right. Let's see. I will choose Pete.
Yes, I'm here all to fuck up the last bit. I'm going to shout out Snoogans. He's had a bereavement in his family, and he reached out to me again just recently. He's doing good. He's playing games now. He's on PUBG. I reckon he's going to be back on that leaderboard next week on Trials. So expect some shake-up in that table for the last couple of weeks.
We need to squad up with Snoogans and some PUBG.
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah, yep. Just to give him some shit and just to wind him up and get him going. Shout out to Snoogans and a shout out to Sarah Thomas. Sarah Thomas is a swimmer from, I think she's from America.
She
swam the channel 4 times. And not only is that a massive, you know, that's a massive achievement and probably first time for a female across the channel to do that. Robin's going crazy about some football, but it's not only is that an achievement in itself, but she didn't actually just complete the distance between that channel 4 times. She went that extra mile and she swam against the tide, and she probably swam an extra 35 mile, which is pretty much the channel again. She probably swam it 5 times, not 4.
They put it on the map, on the news. And because of the tides and the currents and the currents and the wind and everything, it was like all over the place, and she'd done like all these extra miles rather than just going straight across.
So, you know, I'm a swimming fanboy, and share it to her because that's just a phenomenal achievement. She's 37. She's just she's recently got over a scare of breast cancer, you know, she's just showing that she's out there to mean business, and fair play to her. So shout out to Sarah Thomas, who will never listen to this. Right, what do I do next?
You need to watch the movie Swim Fan. Yep, write it down.
Is that really a thing?
It is a thing.
I've heard of it.
Is it really?
Okay,
what can I get it on?
I don't know, Netflix, maybe Amazon Prime.
Say the word, Mark.
Okay, so we're going to pass it on to Robin to close it. I mean, Mark. Mark on.
Well, I've just got one shout-out this week, and that is to the OCD&D gang who finally got back together after the Dungeon Master relocated his dungeon. And he's got his rig set up finally. So we had some adventuring yesterday. We had a new cast member, Jason Johnson, joined us, and it was a lot of fun. So the video's up on YouTube now, and the audio versions will be coming out over the next few months.
Can I just jump in? Sorry, yes. I've got one more thing to say. I want to complete. I'm sorry, Greg. I want to complete Gears of War 5 on Insane. I need some recruits. All these people in this podcast and in the chat, they're just not, they don't want to do it. I need some people to complete Insane with me.
Time is a commitment.
Yeah, it is. It is hard.
It's hard on figured intermediate.
Yeah. But by the way, you never even asked me. So,
Man, I'll put it on chat. So,
No.
I could do this all night. So I need some people just to get in touch with me. I want to play this game on Insane. So we need a crew. We need a crew. I'm sorry, Mark.
That's all right. I ain't playing that on Insane. All right, Robin, let you take us home.
Okay, so just finally, well done and keep it up, Arizona Cardinals. You're now ahead. You've scored 2 tries at conversions. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. And it's, the game is not over yet. So fingers crossed. Big shout out to Apple. Thank you very much for including a rotary razor on your new phone. I'll have to get one of those. That'll be very, very handy. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, we will see you all next week. Thank you very, very much for listening. I am your host, Robin Tate, at Bongo the Sane. I've been joined by Greg DeLacy, Murphy's Law, Pete the Real Legit Chinny, and Mark Annex. Thank you very much for listening. See you next time. Have a safe and wonderful gaming week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.